lot of outlines, a lot of paper tonight, so we're doing a series of lessons from the book of Hebrews, and I have a rather lengthy outline, so it's going to become a series, so take several Sunday evenings to go through this book of Hebrews. I'm not in a hurry. So in fact, I'd like to stretch it out as much as I can. Even though the theme is the same, the word let us, and I have plenty of those outlines if you need more. So, even though the word let us is found, at least I put it 13 times in the book of Hebrews, but yet there's a different story or a different theme or subject matter or discussion that we can make on that word, on those words, let us. But so that's what we're going to look at. These items of let us do this, let us do that, either walk in that direction, think this, have that attitude, but let us. So sometimes people think they can live Christianity by themselves or in isolation. The Hebrew letter, or the letter to the Hebrew brethren, emphasizes the us in our relationship to God. There's a relationship that we are to have with one another. Just got started with this lesson last week. We got through point number one, which was let us therefore fear. That's why I wanted to emphasize this one so much last week, because I think it was so important. It's foundational. It's fundamental to our faith. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. So the lesson was, be afraid to miss heaven. If you think you're going to miss heaven, that person should be trembling. There should be some dread in their life. If I had that thought that I'm going to miss out, there just should be some alarm, concern, and that alarm and concern should move us in a direction toward God. Be afraid to miss heaven. I used a song in the notes. I didn't put that song in your outline, but the song Heaven Should Be Worth It All, and I read the words of that song again. I've used this song twice now in recent months. So on the way home, last Sunday evening, Christine said, why don't we just sing that song? So Dennis, just if you had some outlines, you can keep these outlines though, or I mean song, copies of songs. And we're going to sing this tonight. The Bible says to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and teach and admonish one another. That's one thing that our songs do. The content or the words of the song are instructional. They bless us. They not only give us information, but they should move us in a positive direction. So this song reflects the attitude of point number one in the notes on let us in Hebrews. So let's sing this song together. You can exhort and encourage one another with the words. Heaven will surely be worth it all.
Often I'm hindered on my way. Burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, Heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that near me
number one, we said the song just reflects that message of be afraid. It is heaven. Number two in the notes, point where it says chapter 4, verse 11, says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So we need to add to our let us labor, meaning I put your notes, diligence, toil, effort, attention, sweat, painstaking. In other words, labor to enter into that rest. Don't fall. He repeats that message. Don't come short of it. Be sure that you finish. In other words, don't miss the mark. Be afraid to not gain the prize. To put some effort into that. Your Christianity is not just a stroll or a casual walk. There's some diligence involved in it. Labor. And then mentions to enter that rest. Labor to enter that rest. Meaning it's heaven. It's our eternal abode. Everlasting house. Home with God. Whatever phrase you want to use that has significance, that will capture your attention. Whatever phrase you want to use about just or the word heaven itself or God's house or that eternal home, make that significant to you so that it becomes valuable and precious and will move you in that direction. Labor. Then he says, look at that example of unbelief. And he mentions that in that same chapter, chapter 4, the verses preceding. These readers, they knew their history. Hebrew writer is telling them, don't do what your fathers did, your ancestors. That unbelief or disobedience is in some translations. That's a great enemy of that final possession, that rest. Disobedience and unbelief. Paul gives another illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for our admonition. So when you read those Old Testament stories, especially the journeys from Egypt to the Promised Land, and look at the things that happened to them for their unbelief, and the Hebrew writer is now saying to them, don't fall short of Canaan's land, or the Promised Land, that promised rest. Labor to get there. Number three. So seeing then that we have a great high priest. So notice, pay attention to that. See it. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. He identifies that person, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. So now with that information, again, just knowing about Jesus and what he's accomplished, let us, there's a response on our part, hold fast our profession. Looking at Jesus and where Jesus has gone is an incentive for us to go there too. That's his message. Jesus, he says, you're a great high priest. So Jesus now serves in that office of high priest. The message to these Hebrew brethren who knew their Old Testament ancestry, the message was there's no longer going to be a succession of high priests after the order of Aaron and the Levites. Jesus is that high priest, and there's not going to be another one to follow. In the Old Testament, there was. When one died, another took his place. But Jesus has passed into the heavens, and so he's the last. And he's the everlasting high priest. That's in Jesus passing into the heavens is in contrast to Aaron and the Levites of the Old Testament merely passing beyond the enclosures in the tabernacle and the temple. More than just them going into the holy place or the Holy of Holies once a year. Wait a minute. Jesus, our high priest, has piece of information, having received that instruction, know that, let's hold fast. Again, this is something that's our responsibility. That's what these "let us" words are saying. Puts the, you know, the burden on us. Let us. So let us hold fast. Let's you and me, let's guard and watch. And I put several words here by definition to hopefully one of these words will capture your attention. But, you know, let's keep, let's protect, maintain, preserve, clutch, hug, squeeze, grip, hang on to your profession of faith. Hang on to that. Let us, our profession. Remember, before you were baptized, you made a statement of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That statement, that's your, that was a profession of your faith, your belief. Hang on to that. As we say, guard, hold, maintain, trust, hug, clutch, whatever that word hold fast means. Keep it. Don't give up your faith. Don't give up our, they say, let us not give up our confidence. He mentions it in chapter 3. He mentions it twice about holding fast. In chapter 3, verse 6, a Hebrew letter. Chapter 3, verse 6. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hold fast to the end. In chapter 3, verse 14. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. See that the Hebrew writer is telling them, these Hebrews, you know, as much as information and ancestors and people you had back in the history of the Old Testament, there's something different and better and new now. Hang on to that. Don't go back to the old way. It should be encouragement to someone that may have left a religion of their parents or their family or just didn't have religion and come into Christianity. Don't go back. That's his encouraging words. Last one I'll read is number 4. Oh, that's what I just don't know. Number 4. It's in chapter 4, verse 16. With all of these things in place in chapter 4, all the, you know, the first 4 of these let us verses are found in chapter 4. So now, with again, knowing that, so in chapter 4, verse 16, let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So as Christians or priests in the New Testament kingdom or the church, we approach God through Jesus and not through a person here on earth. There are no earthly high priests in the church, in the kingdom. Our high priest was identified back in verse 14. Our high priest is Jesus Christ, who's passed into the heavens. There are no earthly high priests. All of us are priests. We have an obligation to make our sacrifice to God continually. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. One. I can't misunderstand that. I need help. So we need to add bold prayer to our let us. And so when our approach to God is through Jesus, you know, even we end our prayers many times. You know, in Jesus' name, amen. What makes it possible is because Jesus is our high priest, and he's in heaven, and he has to work his obligation and works for us in our approach to God. So in the name of Jesus, we come to you, God. Now let's come boldly. There's mercy available. There is help in time of need. So don't be afraid to ask. Ask. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Let me put that one in your notes. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him, meaning God, who is able, look at all the words, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory. Unto him that is able to do, God can accomplish. God can work for us. But Paul said in that Ephesians 3, verse 20, not only is God able to do, he's able, whatever he can do it abundantly. And after he's done abundantly, add to that exceedingly. And then add to that, above all, that we even ask or think. In other words, don't shortchange ourselves in asking God for help in time of need. Let's come boldly in prayer. So let us. So we'll continue this lesson again, Lord willing, next week with point number five. And always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We have that available again this evening. So if you're here this evening, I'm a member of the New Testament Church. You have, through your study and information, you realize, you know, your faith that is that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And so now you want to be baptized for remission of sins and rise to walk in newness of life, as the Bible says. So we offer that invitation. Or also at the close of the song, if you want to have a prayer request, you need to raise your hand or you can come forward and say, Brian, I'd like brother to pray with me about this decision or this thing that's taking place in my life, my health, and my family's health. We'll honor prayer requests. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.